Our first scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of John. It's chapter 12 of the book of John. And we'll be reading from verses 12 through 16. Hear God's word for us. The next day, a great crowd who had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young ass and sat upon it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on an ass's colt." His disciples did not understand this at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that this had been written of him and had been done to him. It's the word of the Lord. This is, of course, Palm Sunday. It is the Sunday that we celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And one of the things we should keep in mind on this Sunday, and indeed throughout Holy Week, is that these events take place during the Passover celebration. Passover, of course, was not just any Jewish holiday, but it was the Jewish 4th of July. It was the time when Jews celebrated the fact that God had once liberated the Jewish people, Israel, from Egyptian slavery and oppression. And so Jews from all over the empire would be in Jerusalem during this time, during the Passover season. Jerusalem was a city that had initially about 50,000 inhabitants, but during Passover, the city would swell to about 200,000 inhabitants. It was a festive time, but it was also a tense and dangerous time, because every Jew knew, as well as the Romans, that there were new oppressors in Israel, the Roman oppressors. And so Rome was particularly on the lookout during the season of Passover, this season of liberation, lest anyone get any ideas that God might deliver Israel from their current oppressors. Indeed, scholars tell us that there probably were two parades coming into Jerusalem during this time. From the west was Jesus and his small band of followers riding on a donkey. But from the east, from the city, the port city of Salaris, would have come another parade, another procession. And it would have been Pontius Pilate riding into Jerusalem in order to keep an eye on the Passover festivities. Pilate would not have been riding a donkey. He would have more than likely been riding a war steed. He would have not had just a few claptrap band of followers, but he would have entered the city with a contingent of military personnel, with swords and bucklers and shields and all of the accoutrements of war. It would be the clash of these two kingdoms. The kingdom of Pilate, represented the kingdom of Caesar, represented by Pilate, and the kingdom of God, embodied in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It would be these two kingdoms that would clash during Holy Week. Our second scripture reading will come from John, the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I'll be reading from verses 1 through verse 16. It's found on page 943 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no crime in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard these words, he was the more afraid. He entered the praetorium again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greatest sin." Upon this, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Pavement, and in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. It's the word of the Lord. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what the crowd said on Sunday, Palm Sunday, as Jesus entered into the city. But by Friday, Jesus had been betrayed, he had been arrested, he had been put on trial, and he had been crucified. In all the gospel narratives, Jesus is asked whether or not he is a king. Are you a king? And Jesus doesn't answer that question directly. But in John's gospel, Jesus replies that he is a king, and he says, "But my kingdom is not of this world." I always thought that what Jesus meant by that was that his kingdom was somewhere else, that it was out there in heaven someplace. But that is decidedly what Jesus does not mean. When Jesus says that his kingdom is not of this world, what he meant by that was that his kingdom was not of the nature and the character of this world. Those who are a part of his kingdom do not do things the way that the world does things. It is not a kingdom of violence. It is not a kingdom of force. Jesus said things like this before. There are those, he said, who would like to take the kingdom by force. "Your great men like to lord it over you," but that's not the way we do it in the kingdom. Jesus tells Pilate that if his kingdom was of the world, then his followers would fight for him. But that's not the nature and the character of the kingdom of God. The nature and character of the kingdom of God is a kingdom of self-giving love. But of course, our world cannot comprehend that kind of kingdom. And of course, it cannot even begin to comprehend that kind of king. And so Jesus is beaten and scourged and crucified. In the clash of the two kingdoms, Jesus is scourged and crucified and killed on the cross. And it seems like that's the way that it always is, that God's kingdom of peace and love and justice and healing is crushed by the forces and powers of the world, the forces and powers of death. The world has one power, ultimately, and that is the power of death, to bring death. But Jesus' crucifixion is his victory. Jesus' crucifixion is his glorification. In John's gospel, it is his coronation. It is the way that he gains the victory over the forces and the powers of death. But even the cross is not the last word. The last word is what happens on Easter Sunday when the tomb is empty. I'll invite all of you out next Sunday to hear that stunning good news. But in the meantime, the question is before us, which kingdom do we believe in? Which kingdom do we want to be a part of? The kingdom of God embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ and his way of self-giving love, are the kingdoms of the world that are exemplified through crushing power and ultimately through death dealing. The choice is ours. And now, friends, go out into the world. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.